The title of this morning's address is Ideas About God. A few weeks ago, Tony Brady led the service, and as part of the address, he remarked that the Old Testament God surely had the worst public relations team in the history of the world. Because in the Old Testament, God is a ruthless, bloodthirsty tyrant. He's the partisan God of the Jewish nation. Jesus encouraged his followers to imagine a different version of God. The God Jesus spoke of was less partisan, less angry, and the new relationship between humanity and God envisaged by Jesus was to be that as between a loving parent and a child. Christians, I think, often forget that Jesus, St. Paul, and the earliest Christians were all believed in the apocalypse. They all believed that the world was about to end, as the world as it was about to end, that God would intervene in the world, crush evil, and that Jesus would return to rule over this new order. Jesus was Jewish. He never established a new religion called Christianity. Jesus and his earliest followers taught in the synagogues. And right from the beginning, from the death of Jesus, there have been many different versions of Christianity. And these different versions had corresponding disputes about which version was correct. We tend to think of Christianity as splitting at the Reformation. It was never in the beginning a united group. The Roman Empire, as we know, was a well-organized, streamlined institution. And when Christianity became its official religion, the differences between Christian leaders offended the Emperor Constantine's sense of order. He wanted agreement about the tenets of the Christian faith. And so he called a general meeting of Christian leaders. This first ecumenical council was held in Nicaea in the year 325. At that time, there were about 1,800 Christian bishops. Of those 1,800, they all didn't show up for the meeting. The lowest estimate for attendance was 250. The highest estimate was 315. Now that translates as an attendance rate of between 14 and 17% of the leaders. 1,700 years ago, this minority summarized Christian beliefs. Their summary is contained in the Nicene Creed that is recited in Christian churches throughout the world. Their beliefs about God and the nature of Jesus are the foundation beliefs of Christianity and declared to be forever unchangeable. These articles of faith are maintained even though they defy reason and they contradict scientific understanding, but they're declared to be unchangeable. God is unity, they proclaim, yet within that unity, there are three distinct beings. The beliefs are set out in the Creed of Nicaea contradict ordinary understanding of language. In ordinary, everyday language, when we say someone is the Father and someone is the Son, we know that the Father is older than the Son. And yet in Christian theology, they say that the Son existed for all time with his Father. Logic and reason and use of language is suspended. It says that after the death of Jesus, he ascended to heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Father. And heaven at that time was always imagined as a sort of sliding, behind a sliding door in the sky. And we say, well, where is heaven? And when did God acquire a body and a gender? It is understandable that these tenets of faith are of its time. But should religious beliefs be forever set in stone by just a few individuals? In every part of life, change is the nature of existence. Why should we expect religious belief to be the only exception to that rule? Just think of how every aspect of human endeavor has progressed and altered during the past 1700 years, and will continue to change into the future. We wonder, how on earth did we believe such and such? Religion, too, has to be allowed to change. 2,000 years following the death of Jesus, in a post-Enlightenment world, Christianity is being challenged. Religion is becoming irrelevant for many people. Going back to the census in 2016, that's the previous one to this one, 10% of the Irish population said that they had no religion. On a chart in that census of fastest growing religions in Ireland, the third highest growth group are atheists. In an educated society, people are more inclined to make personal choices about what they do or don't believe in. And for many people, religion is peripheral to their lives. When we speak about a belief in God, what exactly do we mean when we say we believe in God? What does it mean to us? The monotheistic faiths, that's Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, there's three underlying assumptions about believing in God. The first is that God is one, God is unity, that God created the world, that God personally intervenes in the world from time to time, and that when we die, we will be judged by this God and punished or rewarded appropriately. These are the assumptions: that God is unity, created the world, intervenes in the world, and will judge us. When asked whether or not people believe in God, some people will say they believe in God, or they're atheist or agnostic. I think at this stage we should take agnostic is, I have no interest whatsoever in the subject. But just for a moment, I want you just to take a moment now and we just consider, if I say, do you or don't you believe in God, what do you or don't you believe in? Does it have an image? So just take the moment there. I guarantee that every person here will have a different image in their mind, because we all perceive God differently. Everyone perceives God in their unique way. And I agree with Dara Malloy in that book, Reimagining the Divine, that the version of God set in stone in Nicaea is a version of God that most people reject. Despite its many predictions of its death, religion somehow persists. Perhaps this is because human beings have within us an element of what we call spirit. Pierre de Chardin said, "We are not human beings having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And that fact that we are spiritual beings having a human experience is what I think draws us to religion. That is why religion niggles and draws us, because of our nature. If we have dismissed God as set out at Nicaea, Why not go a step further and dismiss all descriptions of God and all forms of belief? Forget every tenet of faith you have ever learned. Instead, go for your own personal experiences. Depend on them. When Darren Malloy writes about God, this God of personal experience, he's echoing the teaching of the Buddha, who said, "Be ye lamps unto yourselves. Accept nothing because you heard it from someone else. Find your truth from your personal experiences." And if you do that, keeping an open mind, but those experiences will support you and confirm for you. You'll never be shaken in them. When Nicaea took place, education was the prerogative of the very few. We are lucky to have access to education, and we have the capacity to find our personal spirituality. We don't need permission to find a path that suits our individuality. There is a quotation, it's on a memorial to Crazy Horse, the Native American chief, and it says, "Travel in the shadow of the Great Spirit." Travel in the shadow of the Great Spirit is advice I would advise you to pursue. Because when we pay attention to the Great Spirit, we nourish our spirit. When we ignore the Spirit, we become separate from an integral part of ourselves. And when this happens, and if it happens for an extended time, life will become aimless, a bit fearful, small difficulties will be magnified. If or when we find ourselves feeling like this, it is time to reconnect with God or your personal Great Spirit. We don't chase God. We travel in awareness of something more powerful than us, something to which we feel connected, a force that is life-enhancing. And if religion is not life-enhancing, there's something wrong with it. We don't need to kneel in supplication to make our offerings. All great spiritual teachers lived by and taught the golden rule to treat others as we wish to be treated. That's the basis. Then we move on to beliefs. Every one of them, every spiritual leader, spent long periods of time in quiet contemplation, in awareness of their Great Spirit, and then applied what they experienced to their lives. We live more deeply when we live in awareness of Spirit. The word religion comes from the Latin. It means that which unites. But there's definitely something about religion that divides. From before the time of Jesus, religion was part of their nation. To be a citizen of Judea was to be of the Jewish faith. Christianity was the faith of the Roman Empire. The rise of Islam led to wars between Christians and Muslims. At the Reformation, states divided into Reformed and Roman Christianity. Religion, unfortunately, becomes part of political power, and that's when religions become corrupted. Spirituality belongs to the individual and cannot be set in stone. A spiritual teacher or religious organization can point an aspirant in a particular direction. The individual must choose to follow that path and come to their beliefs through their experiences. When we think of places like Rome, Canterbury, Notre Dame, the Golden Temple of Amritsar, the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, we have to remember that these are human constructs. Very often, they're more about political statements than religion. And God is not found in these places. God happens in quiet places within the human heart. 1700 years ago, a few bishops wrongly believed that it was in their power to set belief in stone. But no one person or institution has a monopoly on spiritual truth. We Unitarians are accused of not having beliefs. But that's not true. Every Unitarian has their individual belief system, every one of them, and they're all very certain about them. Perhaps we are a little wise that we know that our members think differently and hold different views, and that that does not stop us from being a community. I think of Unitarians as a group of spiritual searchers willing to share the threads of wisdom they might have found. We hold our beliefs dearly, but we know that our beliefs may change in the light of experience and new knowledge. We also firmly believe that deeds are always far more important than any creeds, no matter who writes them. Amen.